Motivation for Marriage, Session 8, Marriage Issues.
Well, okay, we're going to end this series with a brief treatment on marriage issues. So, remember, marriage problems is a symptom of something deeper. Okay, it's not simply the lack of ability or not knowing the latest and greatest methodology. It is things like selfishness, lack of love, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, drugs, alcohol, and rejection of God's will. In essence, what I have been talking about this whole time as the root of the problem is sin. Okay, so that's very important that we get this, and we, as we've gone through this whole series, that we get it and we remember it. And anyway, let me clear some things up that may have posed a problem for, you know, many of you who have asked. Now, it's not that I'm against psychology or psychological research and analysis. Now, I think that, in my opinion, I think that psychology does a really good job of identifying problems, identifying causes of certain human behaviors. And I personally think it would be foolish to ignore all the years of research and study and observations by psychologists. So, you know, and this has been helpful for me in my counseling. And, you know, as you may have noticed, you have heard it pretty much throughout this series. But let me say this. So psychology does a good job of identifying the problems. It just can't fix it. That's the key. And I know there's people that will disagree with me on this, but it does a good job of identifying problems, but it cannot fix it. Okay. I'm pretty convinced of that, because the only thing that can bring transformation is the gospel. All right. The only thing that can truly bring the transformation needed is not artificial psychological methods like rebirthing or theophostics or reparenting or smacking your spouse on the head with a foam bat, etc., etc. The only thing that's going to bring the transformation that's needed is the gospel. And so this is how I approach counseling. So again, psychology, yeah, it does a really good job, and I think that we should learn from all the years of study when it comes to human behavior. But again, the only thing that can bring about change is the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. All right, it's the gospel. If you have no gospel, then you got no real change. And that's why I'm pretty clear that, you know, I am a biblical counselor. Now, okay, so let's talk about marriage problems. All right, what are some of the causes of marriage problems? So, number one, I think surprise. We get married and now we're surprised that expectations are unfulfilled. You know, that we find out that our spouse, our partner, is not meeting our expectations as to how a husband or a wife is supposed to be. We have this idea as to what they're supposed to be, and after we get married, we're surprised that it's unfulfilled, that it's not happening. And so many times, our concept of what marriage is supposed to be, you know, maybe it was learned, you know, from our parents or friends that we watched their marriage. We learned it. So, you know, we would say that our husband is supposed to be like my dad, you know, or my wife is supposed to be like my mom. And so we have these expectations as to what husbands and wives should be. And then what happens is we get married and we're surprised that they're actually not what we thought they were supposed to be, or not what our idea of how husbands and wives are supposed to be. You know, and so what happens is that after time, the habits and behaviors that we had, you know, surprises each other, and behaviors, you know, of bathroom and sleeping and you know, and the husband needs the TV on at night so that he can fall asleep, and, you know, different ideas on cleanliness and handling money, and all of this stuff can wear, and all of this stuff can disappoint, and because it does, it can cause marital issues. So again, surprise, you know, they're not like you thought they were going to be. And so that's a one thing that causes marital problems. Number two, disappointing sex. Now, of course, couples come into the marriage relationship believing that it's always going to be exciting and it's always going to be satisfying. You know, it's like, this is what's going to happen. We're going to get married and it's going to be great, exciting and satisfying. And then boom, sexual issues come because it's not meeting expectations. And so now we have marital issues because of that. Whether it, you know, the sexual issues of not being able to perform, or there's different sex drive between the two. You know, also like past experiences, you know, with a spouse who, you know, if they were sexually active before marriage, you know, can cause like inadequacy issues, trust issues, all of those types of things that, you know, can affect sex life. You know, busyness in life, unresolved conflict. You know, not being able to get privacy because children are all around. You know, you just can't get alone. You know, when this is not satisfied, marriage problems do exist. And, you know, and it's not just husbands complaining. It's wives too, believe it or not. Okay, so number two, you know, disappointing sex life. Number three is bad communication, of course. And we dealt with this one already. But let me give you just a couple more comments. Many times while couples are dating, communication is actually easy. You know, you go out to dinner and you talk about all kinds of things. You're getting to know each other. There's lots of things to talk about, you know, and so communication seems to come easy. But then after time, couples, you know, they just don't talk anymore. I mean, there's times where couples can actually go out to dinner and say absolutely nothing to each other. Okay? And we know that communication is a must. All right? So, we got to remember that we all could communicate better. All right? But we have to be better listeners, and we got to actually care. And we got to actually care about communication. And so, you know, this is, again, is where the gospel comes in. The core of communication problems go deeper than just communication skills. All right. So let's remember that a lot of times it's not, you know, because we can't communicate. It's because we won't communicate. All right. Number four, you know, sometimes we have marital issues because of just unhealthy relationships. The union, the covenant between the two, it's just unhealthy. You know, you have emotionally dependent individuals, or you got codependent ones, and so you have unhealthiness in the relationship. And of course, yes, this is going to cause problems. I mean, getting close to a person is risky, and in a lot of ways, that there's complexities that go with it. You know, there's just certain things that we just don't see, we just don't know. When marriage comes, it just, all of a sudden, it just comes up and there it is, right there in front of your face. You know, many times we don't see the unhealthy traits in our spouses while we were dating again. And so we become surprised when we find out that they are, you know, unhealthily needy for attention. You know, or they're indifferent and unwilling to be affectionate. You know, and an individual will struggle to experience intimacy or have, you know, disdain for it. And so sometimes one will become emotionally dependent, and then the other will become dependent on being needed, you know, so codependency. And many times it will become miserable with all the issues that come about, because, you know, you would think that it's a perfect union. Here's somebody that's needy, and then here you got somebody that has a need to be needed. But man, there's all kinds of issues that come up with it. We need to understand that your partner can't be suffocating, and neither should you let them be suffocating. Because, you know, let them, because it makes you feel good to be suffocated, because you need to be needed. You know, this causes all kinds of issues. Believe it or not, this will cause marital problems in an intense way. You know, we'll see anger, resentment, jealousy, unforgiveness, and indifference. All of these things can result from unhealthy relationships within marriage. Number five, making bad decisions causes marital issues. Spending money without discussing it and keeping it a secret, that's not a good idea. That will cause problems. Husbands wanting to advance his career even though he knows that it's going to negatively affect his family, yeah, not a good idea. Bad decision for sure. Avoiding communication, you know, when you have unresolved conflict, you know you have to resolve it, but we just, you know, want to avoid it. Not a good idea. Lying to your spouse, not a good idea. Emotional and physical adultery, being too intimate with someone else, not a good idea. Sometimes unwise choices are inevitable. Because sometimes it's gotta be made at the spur of the moment, you know, and you gotta make a decision right now, and sometimes it's just not the right one. It's not a bad decision. Okay, we get that. And I think for the most part, our spouse understands that. Okay, we can put ourselves in it and understand, yeah, I can understand why you did it. Not a good idea, but understand why you did it. But sometimes these bad decisions are planned. Okay, it's premeditated. And so these things can cause problematic marital issues. Okay, so making bad decisions will cause it. Number six, secrets. I think sometimes there are really serious issues that one knows that he or she has, but because of the fear of losing the relationship, you know, while they were dating, it was kept hidden, and now after marriage, here it is, it comes out. Okay, so out of fear, they kept a secret. All right, and there's fear of, you know, commitment. That might be a secret, is the fear of making commitments. Another secret would be an individual struggle with homosexuality and keeping that a secret, you know, or bad sexual abuse in the past that caused you to hate sex, you know, lying, you know, struggling with lying and keeping that a secret, having real anger problems and keeping that a secret, and having, you know, resentment over things that happened in your life and keeping that an issue. And, you know, family, this stuff comes out after you get married. It comes out. A lot of these secrets can't be kept, especially when it has to do with the relationship. So, you know, so what ends up happening with the individual who keeps a secret, sometimes they have to deal with the guilt of it. And because they're dealing with the guilt of it, it's going to affect how they relate to their partner. You know, when they talk, it's always guilt and condemnation. Sometimes they want to pass guilt and condemnation on the other person. You know, a lot of this can cause depression, anger, unkindness. They're unkind to their spouse because the spouse is showing them kindness, and they don't deserve that kind of kindness because they're hiding something, and so they retaliate. Insecurity is a problem. Jealousy is a problem. So there's all kinds of things that happens within this. So these secrets will come out after time, and when they do, it causes marital issues. Number seven, busyness. Busyness causes marital issues. Struggling to manage time, struggling to build a relationship because we just don't have time to do it. You know, of course, this is common. It's common for many of us today. I mean, it's just a real society today at this time. Our culture, it's just busy. Everybody is busy. People got stuff to do. They got places to be. You know, so there's all kinds of things that happen. But, you know, when we're struggling to manage time because we're busy, you know, we seem to be too busy to actually have a relationship or to work on our relationship. So, you know, we're so busy, we just don't have time to do it. And a lot of times because we're busy, some of you guys will be able to attest to this, when we're busy, we get moody.
You know, I think, you know, it's so busy, you get moody, and couples, they get grouchy and they get irritable, you know, and they're that way because they're just so tired. They're just worn out. And so because they're tired, they grow impatient. They're tired and they develop a short fuse because they just have no ability to tolerate anything. I can't tolerate any nonsense today. So, you know, busyness actually can cause that. And of course, you know, that if there's moodiness or couples are grouchy and irritable, become tired and grow impatient, yeah, that's going to cause marital issues. When we are busy with our children, this is a big one. You know, when you have children, it's really busy. I mean, you're running around to do baseball practice, swimming practice, ballet, gymnastics. You got to pick them up from school. And then, you know, when it's done, you got to feed them. You got to give them baths. You know, you got to get them off the video games that they're playing. And then you got to clean up their messes. And then when all of this is done, all you want to do is go to sleep. And so sometimes it becomes really difficult to work on a relationship, to work on marriage when this is what happens. And more a couple will begin to feel distant and you'll feel like they're further and further away because they just don't have time together. So, you know, it's really important for us to make sure that we take time to pause in life. But, you know, sometimes we're so busy that when we actually do pause, it's never good because we're just so exhausted. So, you know, we need to, you know, have some wisdom when it comes to how busy we are and, you know, make some changes in our lifestyle. Because marital issues, a lot of these things that we do today, it's just not worth the marital issues that we have. Okay, number eight, church and belief systems is something that causes marital issues. You know, if you and your wife, husbands and wives, if you have differences when it comes to, you know, theological beliefs, you know, coming to a decision as to which church you're supposed to go to, that can cause some issues. You know, let's look at it this way. The husband is a Baptist, but the wife is a Lutheran, you know. So the question is, do you baptize your infants or not? What are you going to do when you have children? You know, wives should submit, yes, but there's tension, and tension is still there. You know, other things would be like, you know, both will start a relationship Arminian, but then one becomes a Calvinist, and that causes problems. And one likes hymns only, and the other one wants contemporary music. There's different levels of sanctification. A wife could be spiritually more mature than a husband. A husband is passionate about Christianity, but the wife could care less about it. You know, so that can cause tension within a marriage. You know, and really at the end, it's like, what theological tradition are we using to raise our children? You know, which one are we going with? You know, there's tension with, you know, I want to send them to Christian school. No, I want to send them to public school. Yes, but they need to be brought up, you know, in a Christian school where they have, you know, they're being taught Christian values. Christianity is supposed to be a wonderful bonding time for marriages. And, you know, and it's supposed to be a thing that strengthens our marriages, but differences theologically can be a real cause of tension. So we got to remember that. Number nine, you know, and this one may seem kind of weird, but, you know, it's just plain boredom, just bored with marriage. You know, believe it or not, this is a source of real contention for a couple. You know, this is tension. Husbands and wives, you know, they settle into their routines and then they get accustomed to each other. And then the excitement of marriage is gone and they just really don't have any desire to try to do things to spark the marriage, you know. And when marriage becomes dull and routine, it can cause friction. It may cause them to look elsewhere for excitement. That's not good. And even persons, you know, they're looking for persons who will cause their heart to flutter, you know, and when the distance between the two of them grow, then of course the tension increases. And number 10, last one, these are all what I think. Number 10 is mutual immorality.
Sometimes couples do immoral things together. I mean, this is just an amazing thing here. You know, they go places together that they should not be going to. You know, both of them taking drugs or drinking too much at a club or a bar, and they do this together. You know, mutually practicing sexual immorality. You know, allowing the use of foul language, being okay with it, participating and defending the wrong behavior of a spouse. You know, that's just, you know, a mutual immorality that goes on. And you know what? It goes without saying, I think, how this kind of behavior causes major marital problems, and you'll see it even in the future. You know, and you're going to see things like shame and inability to trust, jealousy, judging, anger, especially when someone changes and they want to stop doing the immoral things. You know, the judging starts to happen, the unforgiveness and the lack of respect, you know, starts to come out, you know. But of course, this kind of mutual immorality going on with a married couple, this should not happen with couples in the church, right? Wrong. It actually does, believe it or not. So what are things that could happen? So let's just say you have marital issues. I mean, we know this. I mean, what are some things that actually happen because of it? Well, the couple will fall into despair. They will fall into hopelessness, despair and hopelessness. It's the most common. You know, they're stuck in unresolved conflict, and they're watching the disintegration of their marriage. And this whole picture can cause a husband and a wife to lose hope and fall into deeper confusion. You know, many will even say to me, you know, with their despair and hopelessness, then it comes to a point where they just don't care anymore. It's like they'll say to me, nothing is going to change. You know, nothing's going to change. So I don't even know why I bother doing anything. You know, no matter what I do, he or she is never going to change. So, you know, it just doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore. You know, this is just now my lot in life. It's just over. It's just done. I have no hope anymore. But you know what? This is pretty common for marriages. I think many of us, you know, go through periods like this. In my opinion, I think most of the time it's temporary, but sadly sometimes it's actually not. Another bad thing with this is that despair and hopelessness in a marriage is actually contagious. If one individual becomes hopeless and is despairing, it can cause the other person to fall into it as well. You know, well, he's given up already, so I guess I will too. You know, I don't want to be the only one fighting for this relationship. You know, it's not fair. It's tiring. If she doesn't care, then you know what? I don't care. So it can cause the other person to despair and become hopeless as well. So from here, increasingly more and more conflict can result from these problems. Things get worse and worse, and it's really hard to dig out of some of these situations. So this is the reason why I tell couples, you need to get help right away. If there's issues in your life and you're going through some stuff, get help right away before it gets worse. Because sometimes it can get so bad that when they meet with me in the office, they just like explode, or they're just, you know, just at that point where they're just at their wit's end and they're redlining, and sometimes they can explode like violently. You know, where one time I almost, you know, it happened in my office, and one time it was so bad that I almost had to call the police, you know. You know, so my question was, why did they let it go this long? Why do we let things go so long? So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, get help right away. Your pastor or your counselor, I guarantee you, will be glad that you did. You know, well, they should be anyway. Withdrawal is another one, and this one is a serious one. You know, it's kind of like a couple, you know, they're doing, you know, everything that a couple is supposed to do. You know, they even sleep in the same bed, you know, but it's essentially they're emotionally divorced. You know, they've withdrawn. You know, they even go to church and they put on a show in front of everyone, but they drive home without saying a word to each other. You know, they even put on a show with their own kids. You know, and so sometimes when I talk with them, you know, I say it this way. It's like I'm talking to you and it's like the lights are on, but nobody's home, you know,
and when it comes to their relationship, you know, the yelling and the name calling is just done. They're not doing that anymore. The fighting is done. The arguing is done, but they're withdrawn from each other. They just don't care. That's the reason why they don't fight, and that's why they don't argue anymore. They just don't care. You know, and it's a way that they will protect themselves from any more pain. So, you know, they're just flat out done. And so let me be honest with you and say that, man, this is the worst when couples will come in like this. And it can become very frustrating to counsel. But, you know, of course, there is hope in Christ. And many actually have truly snapped out of it, you know, to actually have now meaningful relationships. And the testimonies of these things are countless. And this is a testimony to the power of the gospel, because the gospel truly did change their life and soften their heart. And so the last one, of course, is divorce. All right, now, this is not only the breaking and the dissolving of a legal contract that's made with each other. Okay? More importantly, we need to understand that it is the breaking of a covenant that was made with each other before God. All right? The breaking and dissolving of a legal contract, yes, that is the case, but more importantly, it's the breaking of a covenant with each other that you had made before God. And, you know, the sad thing is that marital difficulties can lead one or both of the spouses to decide that it's just better to get away from each other. It's just better to end this. And, you know, and what's sad also is that divorce is becoming way too common in the church. And it's, you know, it's common in the church as a way to deal with marital problems, you know, and, you know, many times it's way too quick. This one blows me away. I mean, I've had Christian couples get divorced in a matter of weeks. It just weeks. They just got married and in weeks they're divorced already. You know, these things coming out of nowhere. You know, one fight and eject. It's just over. You know, sometimes they are, and sometimes it's months. And sometimes it's like they get divorced, you know, really quick, and then they get remarried to somebody else within months. All right. Now, of course, let me say this, that I did not do the weddings. All right. I didn't do these weddings. I didn't. I wasn't there to bring them before God to make this covenant, you know, but wow. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. And, you know, as unbelievable as this may seem, you know, sadly, these kinds of things happen. All right. Now, especially when there are kids, divorce actually does not make things easier. You know, there's countless testimonies in studies when it comes to this, countless testimonies that people, their lives actually became worse when divorce happened and it was done. You know, we really don't realize how much we actually depend on each other. We depend on our spouse on a day-to-day basis. I mean, come on, it's free childcare. You know, and so in a lot of ways, people will say when they were divorced that they essentially traded one problem for a whole new set of others. And, you know, and importantly, we need to remember, and not forget the impact that this will have on children. Because you're not just affecting yourselves. You know, you are absolutely affecting your children. And I can attest to this. I'm a child of divorce. And I can sympathize with the looming trouble and the issues that are coming. You know, so this is serious. And we need to make sure that we keep that in mind and remember this if we're brought to this situation here. So a couple of things on divorce. I want to say a couple of things. We understand that the marriage is a covenant. All right. And Malachi chapter 2 verse 16, Malachi chapter 2 verse 16, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart and do not be unfaithful to your wife. God hates divorce. You realize that? So that's pretty intense there. And Jesus even talks about what I kind of say and I look at as the impossibility of divorce. It's amazing. Mark chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. Mark chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. I mean, the logic of this, it doesn't make any sense. You know, so that's why I say it, the impossibility of when you look at divorce, it's just, you know, you can't split apart what God has joined together. You know, so yes, there's obvious repercussions that take place with that, you know, and so you see that, you know, you see the whole, the passages of scripture that talk about, you know, divorce and remarriage, you know, that you are still bound, even if you get divorced, you're still bound, you know, until the individual dies. So remember, again, marriage is a covenant. The two become one, and covenants are not supposed to be broken. Okay, they're not. They can't be broken. All right, now watch this. In Joshua, they're coming into the land and they're taking over and they're, you know, destroying and they're taking over the land and all of these people, you know, they're getting them out. And the Gibeonites saw what was going on and they were just like, wow, the Israelites are coming. The Lord is with them. We are in trouble. And so what the Gibeonites did was they came up with a plan. And the plan was is that they were going to lie and say, oh, no, we don't live in this land. We're just traveling and just passing through. We're just wandering in this land, you know, and so we don't actually live here. And so what happened is they asked the Israelites to make a covenant with them. You know, and at first they were just like, are you sure? You know, but they just said yes, and they lied. Okay, so remember that. They lied to the Israelites. And in Joshua chapter 9, verses 14 to 20, Joshua 9, 14 to 20, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety. And the leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath. Essentially, this is a covenant that they had made. Now, 3 days after making the treaty, they learned that these people actually live nearby. Verse 17, the Israelites set out at once to investigate and reach their towns in 3 days. The names of these towns were Gibeon, Kephira, Be'eroth, and Kiriath Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack the towns, for the Israelite leaders had made a vow to them in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. The people of Israel grumbled against their leaders because of the treaty. But the leaders replied, since we have sworn an oath in the presence of the Lord... You got that? Sworn an oath in the presence of the Lord. Marriage, making a covenant before God. They swore an oath in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. We cannot touch them. This is what we must do. We must let them live, for divine anger would come upon us if we broke our oath. So you see that? Even though they lied to the Israelites, even though they lied and, you know, they made a covenant and the covenant was made and they could not nor would not break the covenant that they had made with the Gibeonites. So you see, covenants are not supposed to be broken. Covenants cannot be broken. So I understand that there are going to be problems. You know, in my opinion, no marriage, no matter how good, is immune to bad things. But family, as difficult as marriage is, we need to understand
that there is hope. Do not give up on hope. All right? Do not give up. Have hope in Christ. All right? Christ is there. Have hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sure, it can take a long time, but the Lord's time is the perfect time, and our good God will accomplish His good will for us all. And that's what it is that we need to trust in. So we can have hope for our marriage. We can have hope for our marriage today because we know that the Lord's time is a perfect time and He will accomplish His good will for us. So there are so many things that can go wrong with this sacred institution called marriage. A lot of things. Many of which are due to our society, due to our culture. But we know and we have seen throughout this whole session, all right, this whole series, Motivation for Marriage, we know that the core problem is remaining sin within us, remaining sin within our hearts. And our idolatry when it comes to sin brings continued difficulty for us. You first got to break commandment number one. Shall have no other gods before Him. And so sin is idolatry. In some way, shape, or form, it's idolatry. And so we see that the corruption of the flesh will continue to plunge a couple into doing the unthinkable. And you know what? We're all guilty of it. We are. But the gospel saves us. And it will bring us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We will be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we conform no longer to the pattern of this world. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to see it to completion. That we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who will work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. This is the beautiful gospel, ladies and gentlemen, the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, the good news of Jesus, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. It is the gospel, family and friend. This is the gospel. It is in this light that even when we are surprised by the unfulfilled expectations with our spouse, we can trust that soon we will be surprised by the power of the Spirit. In light of the gospel, we do not need to despair with disappointing sexual union because hope comes from those who are in union with Christ. We don't have to despair with bad communication because the light will reveal the revelation of Christ. We do not need to be codependent or emotionally dependent. Why? Because we find our significance in Christ. We do not need to be downcast over bad decisions because He decided to seek and save that which was lost. We do not need to be lost in our secrets because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We do not need to redline in our busyness, for Christ will bring us peace that transcends all understanding. We do not need to feel defeated because we have theological differences, as long as there's no heresy. In all of the essentials, we do have unity. We do not have to be downcast over our boredom and our lifelessness. Christ will restore unto us the joy of our salvation and renew a right spirit within us. For the mutual, immoral couple, there is forgiveness and salvation for you. There is the gift of repentance and the increase of faith in Christ and in Christ alone. So do not despair today. Our Lord has overcome the world. And though we see today the imperfections of our marriages, which is to teach us of
our relationship with Christ, we can be confident that the Lord will come for His imperfect bride and give us life and life more abundantly. That is the promise. And on that rock, you both need to stand. Let's pray.